Yes, it is. Party line on a Thursday, a very wet Thursday. Wow, my goodness. Been inundated with moisture, but it is Indiana, and but it's a little different for most Augusts. Most Augusts, we get a little more dry weather, but regardless, stay safe out there. We do want to give you pass along some information. Got a great show for you this morning. Scott Shoemaker will be with the Frankfort Police Department. He'll be here a little bit later this morning. We're going to be talking to Rihanna Stover of Clinton Central Ag Department coming up in just a bit. But before we do that, let me remind you that, you know, the weather's kind of crazy out there. So there's some delays. Carroll is on a two-hour delay. Clinton Central is on a two-hour delay. These are schools that are on a two-hour delay. So please be mindful of that due to the high level of water and the added water that we got last night. So just keep that in mind. Closing cancellations and delays are brought to you by Jerry's Body Shop. Making your fender bender just a memory. Call Jerry's at 659-3319, 659-3319 for your towing and body repair needs. Jerry's Body Shop. So anyway, that's what's going on. Also, we have a road closure. Frankfort Sewer Department will have Crescent Drive closed all day between Crescent Court and Otter Drive. So Outer Drive and Crescent Court are going to be closed today. So Crescent Drive will be closed between Crescent Court and Outer all day. So keep that in mind as well. And the two-hour delays, Carroll School Corporation and Clinton Central School Corporation closed. Shan Sheridan with you on a Tuesdays and Thursdays. Glad to be with you. And we'll check that forecast coming up in just a little bit. But before we do that, we want to bring on our guest because she is a teacher, and she is probably getting ready to go into class, although I think Clinton Central's on a two-hour delay. Good morning, Rihanna. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you. Are you on a two-hour delay?
We are.
Indeed you are. Okay, that's good. Well, that may you can maybe stay with me a little longer.
Yeah, it was an unexpected delay that came a little bit late, but I think some of the fog got a little bit thicker on the east side of the county as the morning rolled on. So
yeah,
that's what our delay's for.
Yeah, it's a little foggy, but there are some pretty significant water over some of the roadways as well. So it's probably not a bad idea regardless. So anyway, well, you are the education teacher, agricultural education teacher for Clinton Central and the FFA advisor. First of all, tell me how long you've been in that role.
So I've been at Clinton Central. This is starting my second year, but my fourth year total teaching. So I'm one of three advisors that we have at Clinton Central. I get the pleasure of speaking with you this morning about the grant that I applied for that's primarily going to impact my classroom and my students.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we're a little bit more about you. Where do you hail from? Where do you come from?
I graduated from Rossville, so Clinton County, born and raised, right?
Yeah.
And went to Purdue for ag education major. Started at McCutcheon High School for my first 2 years with Tippecanoe School Corporation, and then was looking for a little bit change, small community, similar to what I grew up with at the Rossville level. You know, everybody kind of knows each other, small community support, a little bit heavier ag background. And Clinton Central happened to have an opening last summer, so I went for it, applied, and very happy to be in the corporation and the position that I'm in now.
Yeah, you just moved from the red to green. So
yeah, that's right.
There you go. So you know, there's red tractors, and then there's those green tractors. So you're on the green side as far as schools are concerned. Well, tell us a little bit about the grant that you applied for. This is a you know, the ag program always looking and needing dollars and funding. So what will be funded and what will this allow the students to do?
The grant itself is not necessarily sponsored by National FFA, but it is a program ran by National FFA. But it's sponsored by Tractor Supply Company, and actually their paper emblem sales that they do during National FFA week, 100% of those funds is what sponsors this grant that we received. So we received a grant in a total of $4,150. And what I will be doing with that is we have a very nice large shop in our ag program, and I'm going to be converting a corner of that into an indoor growing space using garden boxes, grow lights, to grow easier produce, so to speak, so primarily tomatoes, peppers, and cucumbers, that then some of our other students in food science programs are able to then preserve, with the goal that we might have some products for sale at the end of the school year. And also another goal of this project then is to potentially provide a healthy food option that students have invested their time into for the school, like during cafeteria, in the form of cucumber slices or cherry tomatoes.
Wow, so you're going to have like your own garden right indoors. It's kind of like your own little greenhouse.
Yes. We do have a greenhouse. We're kind of in the midst of getting it a little bit more functional, so to speak. Its heating and cooling is not totally up to par now. So, you know, when we're having these really hot, humid days, it's a little bit miserable to be inside there right now. But we're hoping, too, by the end of the school year, we might be able to use it a little bit more. But for now, so I can keep providing hands-on opportunities, this was my idea that I had at the end of last school year when I was working through some grants.
So this sounds like to me this is a somewhat of a simulator that you'll be able to simulate, even though that you're doing it in real time, but simulate the seed breaking, growing, and birthing whatever plant that you're going to be growing. But is there opportunity for the students to see the roots and see all of that? Is that something that the grant's provided for?
Absolutely. We are purchasing enough seeds that we'll have a plethora of seeds compared to what we can use in the boxes. So we'll have more than enough that we can plant some extras in order to look at plant anatomy from under the soil, at different stages of growth. Everything is going to be started in a seed starter tray, and then we'll convert them into the boxes as they get a little bit bigger. But that way, we can look at germination. Not every seed, no seeds have 100% germination rate, right? So we can explore and troubleshoot a little bit of, okay, why didn't this work, or what's going to work better? And also, it allows for a little bit of a scientific experimentation between what plants, if we fertilize some plants, if we don't fertilize others, you know, what does that look like for the plant's growth and health as it goes along, too?
Yeah, and it gives you a little bit of an understanding, too, of what goes on in maybe a lab at a seed company or something, because you're always looking at hybrid seeds, and I know everybody says, oh, the dreaded GMO, genetically modified, you know, but I think almost everything is genetically modified anymore. It's just,
yeah.
I think that's a little bit of a misnomer, but but it gives you the opportunity to even experiment, as you mentioned, with, hey, what if we do this and what if we do that? What if we fertilize at a certain stage that might allow the plant to grow stronger or larger? Is that a good assumption?
Yeah, and something that's kind of unique with the indoor growing experience, right? We're using a lot of potting soil, so we don't necessarily have a competition with weeds that you might traditionally have out in the yard, but it does introduce a different problem. Usually, plants in a garden are close enough that they'll pollinate each other, something that we've already been exploring as we're working through starting this project is we're going to have to hand pollinate a lot of these flowers, or even you'll still have to provide some supplemental fertilizer because the plant might continue to grow up, but if it's not receiving the correct nutrients, flowers don't even come on for fruits to come on. So a lot of different sort of nuances compared to the indoor growing than what you might see with traditional outdoor soil.
Well, you sound very passionate, Rihanna, as a young teacher. What fuels that passion? Why did you get into agriculture? What was the thing that was driving you to become an ag educator?
When I started at Rossville, I think a lot of people in this community know Dale Griffin, right?
Dale, we know Dale. Dale's a good guy.
So my mom was actually part of Mr. Griffin's first seventh grade class when he student taught at Rossville. And So she graduated, obviously, through Rossville's program, I grew up then around the Ag Barn, maybe not as extensively as some of my classmates. I don't come from a traditional ag background at all. You know, my parents worked 9-to-5 jobs in Lafayette and have my entire life. But obviously, everybody gravitates towards Mr. Griffin. It's a little hard not to when you can hear him down the school, right? So I wanted to be in FFA. A lot of my friends were, but I did start out, I was not into public speaking. I was the type of person that I would get in front of a room to do a presentation, and I could feel my face go red. I can feel tears start to well up. My voice gets shaky. And FFA got me out of that.
Mm.
Actually, my first year competing in what they're called leadership development events, and usually that's our public speaking contest, I participated in the essay contest because I said, I'll compete in something, but you're not going to make me talk to somebody.
Wow. So, and here you are now a teacher.
Exactly. About my sophomore year, then, I started to blossom out of my shell a little bit. I got more comfortable with the public speaking parts of it, started going to some conferences that Indiana FFA offers. Through those conferences, I was able to serve as a counselor towards the end of my high school career. And I loved seeing some of these younger middle school freshman members grow in the span of a Friday night to a Sunday afternoon. And that is what lit my fire to, if I like seeing this over a 3-day period, what about a 4-to-6-year period if I have them every single year in a school? So that's really what grew my love for ag education.
Oh, absolutely. And the and really going back to FFA, tell us a little bit about the organization. And apparently, certainly, it spawned a passion for you that has brought you a career path. But what does it do? How does the FFA structure, how does it work beyond just agriculture? Because you've mentioned already public speaking, you've mentioned leadership. All of these things are really associated with FFA that maybe people don't understand and recognize.
Yeah, National FFA operates, right? We're all kind of under the umbrella of National FFA. But from there, we're broken down into regions of the United States, which aren't necessarily, they don't operate as extensively. There's not a lot of regional-based United States conferences just because the size of the geographic areas. But then the state organization, Indiana FFA, which is housed under the Indiana State Department of Agriculture. And then from there, we have even further breakdowns of 4 regions in Indiana, and there's 4 districts within each of those regions. And then down to the chapter level. Within, especially Indiana FFA structure, there's a lot of opportunities for student leaders. Actually, one of our seniors this year is a member of our district officer team. So she gets to work with other junior, senior FFA members, not just from our chapters, but from surrounding counties, to organize and plan some different events and activities for the members of our district. We have each region has its own director, which is a senior member of a school within that region. And then on the Indiana FFA level, we have 7 just recently graduated FFA high school FFA members that they actually defer a year of their college in order to continue to serve Indiana FFA and its members through classroom visits, facilitation activities. They're the ones that put on the weekend-long conferences throughout the year, and then, of course, the big thing, planning the state convention, and that happens every June. So within that, right, there's so many opportunities for growth, and yes, we as advisors are here to support and, of course, advise them as needed. But it allows them to take responsibility and ownership for what they're doing and what they're and their success and their failures. So being able to kind of learn through trial and error, and then FFA is structured to also then have these events. They're divided into 2 different categories. We have career development events and our leadership development events. And those career development events are a little bit more what you might actually see in a potential career in the future, what you might encounter in a workplace, a lot of scenario or identification type activities. And then, of course, our leadership development events, like I mentioned, are a lot of those public speaking, getting out of your comfort zone, but also just sharing different components of the agricultural industry that you can actually focus on a specific sector within the industry to provide a demonstration. Or usually an issue is more so the idea behind those prepared public speaking topics. So within those, students have to do a lot of their own research and prepare and practice, and you're going to be as good as you want to be. So again, taking ownership even in these events and these competitions, a lot of it is, I can guide you to the water, I can't make you drink it, right?
Oh yeah, that's very true. Very true. And you know, the thing about FFA as well is you mentioned all of these great other ancillary type of pieces that come along with just the ag part. But let's go beyond now the FFA and get into more of the ag programming of a school, for instance, and a rural school, because not every school has FFA and ag programming, because this is, you know, beyond the, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. This is taking really life application in so many different instances. So, in say, for instance, in your class, using FFA curriculum and using FFA strategies, how does an ag program, if a student is looking like yourself, that was not necessarily engaged in agriculture growing up, maybe as much as friends that had farms and things, but yet it was something inspired by a teacher, Mr. Griffin. Maybe you could tell us what goes on in your class and how does that equate to attracting a young person into something that may be a career path?
Yeah. Our corporation is very fortunate that we have three ag teachers. This allows us to offer basically all of the pathways that the Department of Education has out there. So I cover the horticulture science pathway. Mr. Austin Orem covers ag mechanics, so ag power, ag structure, a lot of those shop and welding type activities. And then Mr. Ricky Burns covers our animal science pathway, which also then includes our food science. So within each of those, students have an opportunity at Clinton Central to really focus in on what they specifically have an interest in. Even if it's not necessarily going to be something in ag, something I like to do in my classes, and we did just yesterday with my freshmen, is they had an assignment to create a flyer or poster based on an ag organization that provides some sort of assistance to farms, farm families, those involved in agriculture. And I made them present it to their peers. Were they getting a grade on the presentation? No. But it's a low-stakes situation that begins to introduce them into some of those skills that you need no matter what career you go into. But the benefit that we have with these hands-on opportunities, too, is as kids are working on them in class and actually being able to do something that they might experience in real life, they might begin to realize, I could do this every day, or I want to learn more about this, and then they do explore it as a career path and potentially then go into it in the future. And if not, it's still skills that they're going to need no matter where they end up in life.
Yeah, very well said. And for someone that didn't do a lot of talking, you've done well. So you FFA has certainly brought you out of your shell, Rihanna.
It absolutely has. And I encourage everyone, even if you have no interest in ag, you're going to learn leadership and career-ready skills. And I think that's the biggest thing that FFA can teach you.
Yeah, I agree. And the the one thing that I always notice that every year when the FFA convention rolls around, and that gets a lot of good media coverage because we're, you know, Indiana, we are a farm state. it's amazing to me to hear some of those young people interviewed and just how articulate and how they communicate not only, you know, their level of expertise in agriculture, but how they just behave themselves, you know, how they handle themselves, how they, you know, the maturity level. It's always very impressive. And I think FFA does a lot to really instill in those young people those values.
Yeah, and that's, no matter what, I think a lot of people do it, like you mentioned. You see a student in an FFA jacket, you 99.9% of the time are going to encounter one of the most respectful young people that you will come across. I think it's very common, unfortunately, in our day and age that you don't hear thank yous or you don't see people holding the doors for each other. And I feel like every time I'm at an FFA event, it happens and don't even think about it. You know, and it's common courtesy things like that, too, that I think they learn just from instinctually being around it, and it's not even something that we have to teach. Or even giving a handshake, right? Looking people in the eye when you talk to them. Some basic courtesy things that we don't think about nowadays that a lot of FFA members just happen to have.
Yeah, and looking forward now in this, you've got this grant. It's going to be awesome to be able to have the growing lab inside the classroom. What are some other things that you see on the horizon in your world of education and your particular, you know, expertise in agriculture? Where do you see and what do you want to see? What do you get excited about when it comes to ag education, and in particular the Clinton Central Ag Program and moving forward?
I think the biggest thing is right now we have a very strong team of advisors that we're just looking for program growth, and a lot of these grants, extra funding is going to help us do that. Within my area in particular, you know, I'm hoping that by getting students hands-on experience in my classroom in a more controlled setting, that we might be able to go out to some other community members and maybe help them within their businesses free of charge, just so, again, they can explore a career in a certain industry. But, like I said, from the advisor standpoint, it also, if I'm able, you know, me being able to get grant funding allows my teaching partners to maybe dip into the funding that we get from the school a little bit more because we have a sponsor for my sector. So really just we want to continue to see our program grow in numbers to develop students' full potential. I know Mr. Burns, they raise pigs kind of during this semester, towards the end of the semester, and he takes them to Purdue's meat science lab, and they look at butchering, and it's a hands-on learning of, okay, we raised pigs from the time they were piglets, and we processed them into a finished meat product that a lot of us just get off the shelf. Or even Mr. Oram's classes right now, they're actually converting a gravity wagon into a basketball hoop, right? So different sorts of projects that if kids throughout the school continue to see that, hey, we're not just sitting in the classroom all the time doing hands-on, that's just going to continue to help our program grow and flourish. And then we get those students, too, that maybe they're not the most involved in agriculture, but maybe they are really good at writing and delivering speeches. And then having, you know, more competitiveness from the competition and career event standpoint as well.
Well, it sounds like it's an incredible journey for anybody that is wanting to get into, in particularly FFA or any of the ag classes that any of our county schools offer. It's really an opportunity to grow, no pun intended, to grow, to see growth, but also to see growth in your own life and maturity and education beyond just that generalized education. So, Rihanna, you're doing the Lord's work. Greatly appreciate you, and thank you for all that you do. Thank you for coming back to Clinton County and being a part of our great community, and certainly appreciate all that you do in the agricultural community. So keep up the great work.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's one of my favorite things to talk about.
I can tell. I can tell. Hey, thank you very much. Have a great day and stay dry.
Thanks, you too.
All right, thank you. Rhianna Stover of Clinton Central Ag Department being with us this morning, and greatly appreciate her taking her time out to do that. And we greatly thank Clinton Central and Rossville and Prairie and all of the schools in Indiana that have the FFA program. It is truly a great program. I want to remind everyone that Frankfort Sewer Department has Crescent Drive closed all day between Crescent Court and Outer Drive. So if you are headed that way, that is closed because they are making sure that is all cleaned up. Also, we have a correction 600 West between 200 North and Gasline Road closed due to high water. That is the County Highway advised County Road 600 West between 200 North closed. North closed due to high water. So it is actually 600 West between 200 North and Gasline Road. Okay, so just understand that is all closed due to high water. And Clinton Central on a two-hour delay and Carroll on a two-hour delay. Closings, cancellations, and delays brought to you by Jerry's Body Shop, making your fender bender just a memory. Call Jerry's at 659-3319 for your towing and body repair needs. So all of that's going on. Let me give you caught up on the weather forecast. That's probably of essence. Today, patchy fog. In fact, that's why there was really the two-hour delay for Carroll and Clinton Central. Patchy fog between before 8 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 79 today. Calm winds becoming more north, so very little wind today. Tonight, patchy fog, otherwise mostly clear. That's good to hear. Tomorrow, patchy fog, still sunny, high near 79. Looking for some clear weather today, tonight, and tomorrow. Hopefully a little drying out of time, because Saturday we are anticipating some more scattered showers after 2 o'clock. So hopefully enough to dry out to at least mow the yard. Lord, have mercy. I need to get the yard mowed. I'm going to have to bring in the goats here soon. Saturday night, mostly clear. Sunday, sunny with a high near 75. Boy, that's like San Diego weather there. And then starting off the work week Monday with mostly sunny skies at a high of 75. So we'll take that. Hey, hang on, folks. It's going to dry out. We just got to be a little patient. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk to the Frankfort Police Department. I thought I saw Brady Sorrells up there, not Scott Shoemaker, but I couldn't tell. It's hard to tell because there is a shadow in the wings there. I know that's Dason that I'm seeing now, but anyway. All right. You have a great day. Oh, no, I'm coming back. That's right. We're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come back, and then you can have a great day. All right. This is Party Line on WILO.